As you probably know, sunset and sunrise happen to be two of the best times for landscape photography. This isn't to say that you can't get good photos other times of the day, but generally speaking, the best light is at sunset and sunrise. In this podcast episode, I'm going to give you some of my favorite tips to help you guys to capture better sunset and sunrise images. What is going on, everybody? If you're new here, welcome. If you're returning here, welcome back. Really excited to have you guys. My name is Austin James Jackson. I'm your host of the Learn Landscape Photography podcast, and I am stoked that you guys are here today. In this podcast episode, we are talking about capturing better sunrise and sunset images, which is something that's obviously very important to be able to do if you want to be a landscape photographer that captures really nice photos. Now, by the time this episode airs, it's going to be like the beginning of April or so. So it is a fantastic time to either get out and start shooting or to think about planning some trips to start shooting. The winter is pretty much over. Flowers are blooming everywhere. I know the desert is just fantastic down here. It's a great time of year to be here in Utah or anywhere else in the desert Southwest. So start thinking about what trips you're going to go on. And if you're already going on some trips, this will hopefully help you to give you some tips that you can apply directly in the field as soon as your next shoot. I like to keep my tips pretty practical, things that you can actually use in the field. These aren't going to be tips that are like, oh, buy this $2,000 camera to capture better photos. No. These tips are all going to be things that you're going to be able to apply directly to your next shoot, which is hopefully going to help you to become a little bit better photographer just by listening to this one episode is my goal. So I don't want to wait any longer. Let's go ahead and jump in there. Here is a few of my favorite tips in order to help you to capture better sunset and sunrise photos. When it's possible, I like to give you guys some tips that are maybe a little bit outside of the box. I think this first one is probably going to be something that you maybe haven't heard of, or hopefully this will be helpful to most of you guys. First tip is to use weather apps to put yourself in the right place at the right time. That might seem obvious. However, it shocks me how many of my clients, and generally my clients are good representation of what other landscape photographers are doing, because they're most of my clients are probably in the same situation you're in. People that just don't know how to read a good weather forecast, which is totally understandable. I didn't either until I really got into photography. But you have the problem of, you know, I can go on my iPhone and I can look at, like, I have the Zion National Park Lodge as one of the weather options on my iPhone. And that'll show me when it's partly cloudy. And as landscape photographers, I might think, oh, partly cloudy, perfect. That's the best time to be up there. I might get a good sunset or sunrise, or it might say totally cloudy. But this is not enough. I'm telling you guys, it's not enough for you to find a partly cloudy sky and say, perfect, that'll be good. Now, of course, I understand a lot of people, you plan out a trip and it's planned out months in advance, and you go there and you might not get the optimal weather. But by using an app, you can really increase your chances of getting those great conditions in the field. A lot of times when I'm out, like one place, for example, many of you guys have maybe been there, is Death Valley. I'll go out and shoot in Death Valley, and the clouds are pretty sparse there. It's hard to get good clouds there. And sometimes I'll notice, by looking at the weather app that I use, which I'm going to talk about in just a second, I can tell that, okay, there's actually clouds on the north end of the park, you know, up towards the Ubahibi crater or whatever. And there's no clouds on the southern end or the central end, you know, Furnace Creek, you know, further down south. So that'll influence my decision on a trip like that of where I'm going to shoot that night. It's the same thing if you're doing, you know, an Oregon coast trip. You're staying in, let's say, Bandon. It's an area that I know. You know, you might want to drive an extra hour south or an extra hour north to get yourself to better clouds. Now, the way that you're going to be able to find this better than just typing in a location and looking for partly cloudy, the app that I use, it's not sponsored at all. I don't have an affiliate link or anything. I don't get paid if you download it, so I do not care. But I'm just telling you because it's a great app. I know a lot of people use it. It's called Windy. Windy is a really cool app. I actually recently, I've been using it for a while, but I recently upgraded to the premium version. I don't totally know if it's worth it to get the premium version. I can't remember what the differences are, but you could figure that out when you download it. But the free version has plenty of great information. Now, I'm looking at the app right now on my phone. If you don't have it on your phone, like I said, it's a free app. There's no reason not to download it. So download Windy and look at it as I talk about this. But you can click on the bottom right and you have the opportunity to look at so many different things. You can look at wind, temperature, rain, snow, clouds, waves, sea, air quality, drought, warnings. And then within each one of those tabs, there's many other things, you know, weather radars, fog, cloud height, high clouds, low clouds, there's so much that you don't need to know. Really all you need to know is clouds. So what I use Windy for, I go on and I hit clouds and I look at the clouds map. On the bottom of that, it gives me like a timeline. So right now it's Friday afternoon. So that's the time that it sets me at is Friday afternoon. So I can slide it over and it gives me a forecast like over a week in advance. Of course, like 6 or 7 days out, it's not probably very accurate. But for tonight, like right now it's 1 p.m. here and I'm thinking about going out and shooting tonight. Now, luckily for me, I live close to a very scenic area. I live just outside Zion National Park. So I can look and I'm going to slide it to like 7 p.m. Sunset's like 7:30. Then I'm going to zoom in to Zion and I can see when I'm looking at it, it'll show me the amount of clouds, the cloud cover and where the cloud's going to be. Cause I'm looking at like a huge map of, you know, the world. I obviously am zoomed into Southern Utah area here and I can see where the clouds are predicted to be at 7 PM. Now this is really helpful because obviously like the map I'm looking at right now is Zion is not supposed to be cloudy, but a little bit further south towards Kanab or the Grand Canyon is going to be cloudy. I'm probably not going to drive that far, but if I was really wanting to get a good photo, I would probably go further south. Now, getting to the point here, one thing that is really helpful is looking where the breaks in the clouds are. So the clouds are indicated by like gray, and the breaks in the clouds are indicated by yellow. So that's where the sunlight's going to hit. Ideally, you want clouds over whatever you're shooting. And then at sunset, you would want west of there, of the wherever you're going to be shooting, to have a gap. At sunrise, you would want east to have a gap, meaning a clearing. That clearing is going to help those clouds to light up, gives you a lot better chance at a good sunset. You can really get into it and learn a lot about it. Using the high clouds is a really nice feature as well, because that'll tell you where the high clouds are. Here in the Southwest, we mostly get all high clouds in the early spring here, so it's not a big deal. But like I know in the Pacific Northwest or other places across the world where you get low clouds, those low clouds are really hard to get good sunsets and sunrises on. So you would want to look and make sure they're not low clouds. And you can do that within this app as well. I'm not going to talk too much more about it, but Windy app, I think it's great. I love it. That's what I've been using. I've gotten some great conditions and I've been using it a long time, but I really, really started using it probably about a month or two ago. And it has really helped to get me in the right place at the right time, which is obviously that's what photography is about, being in the right place at the right time. So use the weather app, put yourself in the right place at the right time. As I mentioned, I understand not everyone lives somewhere super scenic, so you can't go out just any night. But even when you're on a trip, look at where the clouds are, see where there's the best chance of getting that break in the light. And I think you'll be happy with the photos that result. Tip number two is going to be to scout. Now, this is probably obvious for landscape photography, but I'm going to further elaborate on it. So when you're going out to scout, it's nice to get there in advance. Again, I understand not everyone can go out and they don't have time to scout, whatever it may be. But if you do have time to scout, it's well worth it. Or if you don't have time to scout, hopefully you're shooting at a location that you've seen photos of before. Reason why I say this is because most compositions shoot better at either sunrise or sunset. Very few compositions that I'm aware of shoot really good at both. So you want to be at the right composition at the right time. You know, one example, since I'm on a kind of a Utah kick right now, I guess, since I live in Utah, is people shoot the Watchman in Zion National Park. It's like the photo people take from the bridge is technically illegal, but a lot of people take it anyways. You face the Watchman. That is a known composition that it is a sunset composition. I could shoot it at sunrise. I might get some good clouds above it, but the reason why it's better at sunset is because the light hits the Watchman, the peak in the distance. And so it's better at sunset. It's the same way for a lot of different areas in the world that I've been to. I mean, you know, there's certain spots, you know, I can't even think of an example, but there's just so many different spots out there, like Death Valley, you know, the mud cracks that everyone shoots. Those are generally a sunrise spot because you're shooting into the sun. Generally speaking, you can figure out whether your spot is going to be good for sunrise or sunset based on the direction that it's facing. North facing and south facing compositions, a lot of times you can shoot at either sunset or sunrise, depending on what you're looking for. And depending on, you know, if it's a mountain, which side do you want catching the light, the left or the right? So you need to think about that. And then also think about when you're shooting east or west. You know, if I'm shooting west at sunrise, the sun is going to hit my scene, but I'm probably not going to get good clouds. This works well in places like, you know, the Alabama Hills, the Eastern Sierra, because you're shooting straight at the mountains. The sunlight hits the mountains and it looks really, really nice. And at the same time, if I'm shooting sunset there, I can get some great clouds, but there's absolutely no light. So think about that and think about what kind of photo you're after. Generally speaking, those north and south compositions are going to yield the most intriguing photos, in my opinion, in most cases, not all, but that's because you can get both great clouds and great light. But when you're shooting away from the sun, you get light and likely no clouds. When you're shooting into the sun, a lot of times you get clouds, but no light, depending on the composition. There is certain compositions. I've got some photos of like some trees on hills where you're shooting into the sun, but the sun is visible on the horizon. So it's shining back, creating some shadows, creating some nice light. But either way, think about the composition you're shooting, decide whether it's going to be better at sunset or sunrise. There's very few compositions that shoot equally as good at both sunset or sunrise. So put yourself in a position where you're at the right spot at the right time. Like I said, kind of circles back to tip number one, get yourself in the right area at the right time. So it seems like a huge math equation of, well, I need to figure out the right clouds and the right location. It's almost like a puzzle fitting it all together, but that'll help you to yield a little bit better images, in my opinion. Tip number three here leads in really well with this tip, which is to focus on the light, not the clouds. I spent probably the first 5 years of my photography and pretty much all that I cared about was great clouds. You know, I was just after those beautiful clouds. I wanted red sunsets and pink sunsets and great sunrises. This is the wrong idea. And like, as with anything else that I'm giving you advice on, I totally understand beauty's in the eye of the beholder. If that's what you're into, if that's your jam, you keep doing that and tell me to take a hike and bury my head in the sand. But in my opinion, and in the opinion of, I think, a lot of photographers out there, you will create a better photo if there is light present. Even better if there's good light and good clouds. Light just adds a dimension to your photo that you can't add any other way. Especially that golden hour sunlight is so, so good. Additionally, show up early when you're focusing on the light, because there's a lot of compositions. You know, I have a shot of this tree in this really oddball spot in Zion. I've never seen any other photos of it before, but you could maybe find it on my website. But I have a photo of this tree and there's a beautiful sunset and beautiful light. That's a blend of time. You know, I shot the sunlight photo 15 minutes before the clouds. I didn't move my tripod. I just kept it in the same place. Yes, it is technically a composite, but I like the way it turned out and I think that's all that matters. And I'm here to tell you that many, many, many of the really good photographers are using techniques like that in order to create nice images. Now, I personally, you got to decide where you draw the line. Me personally, I'm fine doing an exposure blend like that where, you know, the sun was there 15 minutes ago and now the clouds are there. I'm fine with that. However, I don't take a sunset that I shot, you know, at my house and blend it in with something from 4 months earlier. I wouldn't do that, but it's up to you. This isn't a conversation about ethics of photography, though. We're going to move on from that. Like I said, focus on the light, not the clouds. The light is very, 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 very important. The clouds are nice if you get them, but the light is more important, in my opinion. Tip number, I think this is four, whatever it is, another tip. Watch the highlights and bracket if needed. Now, this again, if you're intermediate level, this is obvious. You know, you don't want to blow out the highlights. If you're new, understand that you don't want to blow out the highlights because you can't recover the detail in post-processing. If you blow out the highlights, there'll be no color there when you bring down the highlights or the exposure in post-processing. It'll just be blank, white, boring. Won't look good. So that's where bracketing comes in. Now, me personally, I do not bracket. I've got a Sony a7R IV. The dynamic range is fantastic. I know some of the like Nikon mirrorless, maybe the Canon, the top of the line Canon is good as well, but I've heard better things about the Nikon and the Sony's dynamic range. But my a7R IV has enough dynamic range that I have never needed to shoot a bracket. I'm at the point where if I needed to bracket in order to get the shadows and the highlights properly exposed, there would be too much dynamic range in my scene anyways. It wouldn't look natural or realistic to me, so I wouldn't blend them together. Now, if you're shooting on a cheaper camera, I totally understand. I used to shoot on a camera with not very good dynamic range, so I understand the bracketing. If you bracket, that's totally fine. But understand, when you post-process and you bring those bracketed images together, embrace the difference in the highlights and the shadows. I see way too many times, especially on Facebook, Facebook groups are like just the gold mine of places to go to see people that are making photography mistakes that I think really hurt their images. And this is like one of the biggest ones. You do a focus stack HDR and you're like, oh, or not a focus stack. I'm sorry. You do an exposure bracket and then you HDR it, meaning you go in, you bring up the shadows, you brighten the shadows and you darken the highlights because you've captured images at, you know, different shutter speeds or whatever you change shutter speed or aperture. Most likely it's shutter speed. You have a lot of detail in the shadows and a lot of detail in the highlights. Just because that detail is available to you does not mean that you should use it. And I can say this till I'm blue in the face because it drives me crazy, guys. So just because you have those details, don't just drag the shadows up. Keep the shadows dark and the highlights bright. You know, I don't want anything, generally speaking, to be completely, completely zero detail in terms of too bright or too dark. But I do want the shadows to still stay pretty dark and the highlights to still stay pretty light in order to keep that realistic looking image. I want to take a break from today's episode and talk about a really cool opportunity if you are a beginner or intermediate photographer that is really serious about taking better photos and getting better at photography. Now, usually about 4 to 6 times a year, I teach in-person workshops around the Western United States centered around helping you become a better photographer. Now, my workshops are kept to just 5 people, which means that you will get plenty of one-on-one attention. So regardless of your skill level, whether you just picked up your first camera or whether you've been shooting for 15 years, I promise you, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm going to cater the class directly to you. Best of all, after the workshop, I'm going to add you to my alumni group on Facebook where you can get literally weekly image feedback. We can connect at all times. When the workshop is over, it's not done. I'm still going to be your mentor. I'm going to be there to help you and become better at photography. Now, like I said, if you're serious about becoming better at photography, don't wait any longer. Register for one of my workshops this year. You can visit austinjamesjackson.com/workshops. That link will be down below in the podcast description that you can click on as well. I really can't wait to see you guys out there. All right, the next tip, I think number 5 here. Look, this is a good photography tip in general, but I think it's especially prevalent at sunset and sunrise. Look for separation in your scene and watch the edges of the scene. If you listened to my podcast a few weeks back with Ian Plant, we talked about watching the edges of your frame, and he gave me a really, really nice term that I liked a lot that I'm going to use a lot now, which is edge patrol. You need to do some edge patrol. Don't have anything that is highly detailed or begs for attention on the edge of your scene. Have the edge of the scene be clean. Nothing detailed is on the edge of the frame. Exiting is partway on. You don't want anything that looks like it should have been either included or excluded in the frame. Everything that's in your photo or out of your photo should be intentionally done that way. That's kind of my my edge patrol, I guess, as we would call it, watch your edges. And you can do this either by zooming or adjusting your position in the field, or you can do it via post-processing by spot healing or whatever it is that you want to do. Now, back to the kind of first part of this, look for separation in your scene. These two tips, I guess, are not really all that similar. I don't know why I grouped them together, but I did. And we're rolling with the punches here. But look for separation in your scene. So when you've got a great sunset, you've got, you know, nice lights that's coming in. And you want to frame out your subject to be nice, to look nice. And I guess where I'm trying to go with this, I guess I'm just trying to say, make sure whatever's behind your subject pops well. One example, the easiest example to give is like, you know, if I'm taking photos of people, you know, I'm shooting photos of someone at a waterfall and they're far away, but I want to capture the scale of the waterfall. I want to take the photo when the person is in the center of the waterfall because their silhouette is going to be dark and the waterfall is going to be white, which is going to make them pop out a lot. It's like natural contrast. Now, if I took the photo of them when what was behind them was not the waterfall and it was a rock, they're going to blend into the rock, which isn't going to look good. So you want to create some separation. You can do this in landscapes really easily as well. You know, you have a really interesting tree. Make sure it goes up and into the horizon because the sky behind the tree, it contrasts really well with the tree itself, as opposed to, you know, if you get higher and you shoot down on the tree, it doesn't contrast with its surroundings very well. And so it's really hard to distinguish the tree and create a photo with a lot of impact. So look for separation. That's one of the biggest things, separation and edge patrol, that those two things alone, if you can look for both of those, that will improve your compositions tenfold, literally overnight. So keep that in mind always when you're out shooting. Now, tip number six, final tip of today's episode, also something that I struggled with for the first few years of my photography. Do not feel like you are handcuffed to your wide angle lens. You don't need to be married to the wide angle. If that's the only lens you own, I very much encourage you to get another lens if you want to get better at photography. Most of you guys listening to this podcast, I think, are interested in taking a little bit better photos. I think one way to do that doesn't necessarily have to be a telephoto. I love my telephoto. As you guys know, I talk about it all the time. But just anything with a little more zoom, not every landscape has to be wide angle. We are in love with the big foreground with the wide angle and the really nice mountain in the background or whatever it is, rock in the background. And we don't have to be that way. We can create some really great images by zooming in. One example that I give all the time, I was teaching a workshop on the Southern Oregon coast and there was another workshop that was out there at the time. And we got this sunset that looked like it was going to be good, but the clouds started clearing and it ended up not being too good. There was another workshop and they were standing really close to one of these sea stacks and they're all using wide angle photos. And I guarantee none of them got a great portfolio worthy shot because with the wide angle, you have to have a crazy good sky. It has to be absolutely nuclear. However, the people in my workshop, we decided to back up a little bit and we decided to zoom in to use our telephotos. I think we were at like 100 millimeters maybe. So we were far away from the sea stack, but we zoomed in to just capture the sea stack because we were far away. We could fill our frame with the sea stack. But now instead of needing a huge wide angle sky that was beautiful, all we needed was a sliver of the sky. And it just so happened that on the very horizon and just above the horizon, there were some beautiful red clouds. So we got a great shot where it looks like the sunset was fantastic when in reality it wasn't. You know, my viewer only knows what I show them in my photo. So because I didn't show them that the rest of the sky was blue, they would think that the sunset was great. So think about how adjusting your focal length can help you in those maybe subpar conditions. We all love to use our wide angle. I love to use mine when you just have a crazy sky, but just a lot of times when you don't have that crazy sky, maybe your sky is better, a little bit better than average or even a little bit below average. You want to pivot and use something other than the wide angle. Don't feel married to it. Grab another lens. I have plenty of recommendations for other lenses that I think would work well for you. So feel free to reach out if you would like a recommendation. I'm more than happy to help you guys out. way, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Really hope that it'll help you to capture better sunset or sunrise photos. Before I let you go here, I do want to plug a workshop that I just released a couple weeks ago. Hopefully it won't be sold out by the time this podcast episode comes out. I don't think it will, but I wanted to plug it for you guys. It's an area that I have been going to for like more than 5 years, and I've been trying to find some really, really, really cool spots. So this workshop takes place this fall in October. So it's in Utah. It goes from Hanksville. If you've ever been out here, you've probably been to Hanksville. And it goes into Capitol Reef, and then it goes to Escalante. It's at the end of October, so it's during peak fall color, and we're going to be visiting a ton of fantastic trees for landscape photography. When I tell you I have walked so long, so many different areas to find the best trees, I am really not kidding. I know this area so well. There's multiple spots we're going to go to that I haven't seen photographed by anyone else before. I'm going to bring you guys there. This is the first year of doing this workshop. But I've done workshops in the area before. I love it out there. It's a fantastic place to be. So if you're interested in capturing fall color, specifically cottonwood trees, which in my humble opinion are better than aspens in Colorado. That's probably a hot take, so sorry if you don't agree with it. But I think the cottonwoods are just, they have so much character. So cottonwoods, red canyon walls, Utah's Badlands. And then we're also going to hit some of the most scenic slot canyons in Utah. We're going to photograph it. So there should be a wide variety of things in this workshop that we're going to photograph. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. So I did want to just plug that there. You can find it on my website. I will link it down below as well. But I think it would be well worth your time if you're interested in capturing Utah's fall colors. Let me put you guys on the goods, get you on the right spot at the right time. Otherwise, thank you guys so much again for listening. This is Austin James Jackson. We'll see you guys next time.